Okay. Thank you, Adiganjan, and welcome. Greetings and welcome to all our friends, colleagues, guests, and of course our distinguished speaker for today, Professor Pedram Khosrownejad. I am your host for the rest of the time that we're together today. My name is Dr. Milad Milani. So a little bit about Pedram, and I'll try and keep my introductions brief, and then we'll pass over to Pedram to start his beautiful presentation. Professor Khosrownejad is curator of Persian arts at Powerhouse Ultimo, and he's an adjunct professor in the Religion and Society Research Cluster at Western Sydney University. He previously worked as the Associate Director of Iranian and Persian Gulf Studies at Oklahoma State University in the United States from 2015 to 2019, and as the Goli Reis Larizadeh Chair of the Iran Heritage Foundation for the Anthropology of Iran in the Department of Social Anthropology at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland from 2007 to 2015. A little bit about his research, which I find absolutely fascinating. His research interests include cultural and social anthropology, visual anthropology, and ethnographic film, with a particular interest, of course, in Iran, Persianate societies, and the Islamic world broadly. He is interested in the ways in which vernacular aesthetics, traditional schools of visual art and material culture, and techniques of fabrication and production are bound up in, influenced, and changed by wider economic, political, social, and cultural trends. His ongoing interdisciplinary research explores the question how, in the 21st century, museums could be a place of debate, engagement, and recognition with both timeless and contemporary themes. Professor Khosrownejad is the curator of Weavers, Merchants, and Kings, which is a current exhibition that's running from 8th September 2022 to 20 January 2023. And also the Charkha and Karga exhibition, which is 13 August 2022 until 15 January 2023. And finally, Iran Zamin, which runs from 19 March, which was a previous exhibition he ran from 19 March to 8 August 2021. So without further ado, today's talk is going to be presented by Professor Khosrownejad on the photography of Sufis and dervishes in Qajar, Iran, in the Qajar era of Iran. He will deliver a 30-minute formal talk, which will be recorded, of course, and then 20 minutes unrecorded Q&A. Now, I will stop talking and pass it over to my dear colleague, Professor Khosrownejad. Thank you and welcome. Over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Miladjan, for such a nice introduction. Thank you, Aydagan and Milad again for inviting me to such an interesting network. It's a great pleasure for me this morning to be among you. As I'm talking here, as part of Powerhouse, first of all, I would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the ancestral homelands upon which our museums are situated. I respect their elders, past, present, and future, and recognize their continuous connection to the country. what I'm going to share with you today, dear colleagues and friends, is ongoing research that for last 10 years, I try to follow is quite difficult because the history of photography in Iran is very new and is about maybe 20 years that we began to work on the history of photography in Iran. So knowing this fact, every other single topic that we want to develop inside the photography of Iran needs more research, but mostly more resources. Collections are dispersed. Iranian government is not very collaborative to share or open the collection to us. Therefore, researchers like me, we need to extend our research on individual collections out of Iran. So what you have in front of you is part of, you know, research that I began in 2012 when I was in St. Andrews through different collections. And I hope by the end of this talk, I get more advice and comments and feedbacks from you. So I try to share my screen with you, dear colleagues. Let me know if it works. Can you see the slides? Good. So, Iranian photography came into its own during the crucial years of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. It was in this period that Iran took steps to shed its traditional mantle, setting aside the isolation of past centuries and stepping into the modern world. The Iranian fin du siècle was marked by political and social upheavals aimed at limiting an absolute monarchy within a constitutional framework. In conjunction for our topic, the camera slipped into the various hands in Iran. The clientele for photography expanded, sitters sought new identities, and the photographic image found expression and exposure within various contexts within Iran during Qajar era. Scholars of this field convincingly argue that the Iranian ruler's patronage during the Qajar period, 1785 to 1925, the period in general, was critical to the introduction and rapid adoption of photography in Iran. The numerous photographic treatises in manuscript and print formed the that were written and translated, as well as the technical equivalence devised for European terms, testify to the court support for the dispersion of photography in Iran. Therefore, by second part of 19th century, a very veritable passion for photography gripped the Qajar court, specifically from 1845. And shortly thereafter, photography spread throughout the Iranian domains. In Qajar Iran, Nasiruddin Shah, the king, should be considered the first and the most important pupil of photography, and one who from childhood constantly studied photography, from age of 13 actually. For him, photography, in addition to its official function, had a more personal, perhaps psychological meaning, allowing him to experiment with the modern Europeanized identity. For him, photography became a politically useful source of information and a symbol of his authority. Therefore, we should consider King Nasser as historically exceptional. Not only was he a powerful king, he was also the first Iranian photographer. He also ordered the establishment of the official position of court photographer at Kasbashi in 1862, which likewise signified photography's integration into the court system of rewards and offices and formalized its importance. Iranian photographers of the Qajar period recorded court life and all aspects of the Shah's domains and properties, the lives and portraits of rich families, and also in rare cases, the lives of normal people in the streets, which our topic today is mostly about that. The passion for photography soon spread beyond the imperial court and eventually became quite popular among the Iranian bourgeoisie. And commercial photography studios were open all around the country. We should emphasize that although photography was introduced by the ruler, it was also grounded on religious acceptance and integrated into local system of production. Therefore, it is important to remember that religious attitudes also favored its adoption. Photography during the Qajar period was not considered as an act of creation by the ulema, the clerics, unlike painting or sculpture. Most importantly, the new medium responded to Iranian aspirations to modernity and a new definition of identity. Here, I would like to open one parenthesis that Nasiruddin Shah and Qajar rulers, they are tribal, coming from tribal society of northeast of Iran, who have had big rooted in Iranian Sufism. Nasiruddin Shah personally, he was very attached to the idea of Sufism, and he was big patron and admirer of Shiite rituals inside his core, a topic which is still unknown for many, but he developed a special genre and a school of sacred iconography of Imam Ali inside his core, who is of course the big leader of Iranian Sufism. So the Anjuman-e-Ukhuwwat, or Society of Brotherhood, which is one of the most popular group of Persian Sufism, was a Freemason-like mystical society rooted in Iranian Sufism. Founded in Qajar, the same area, in 1899, it was originally a continuation of the Safi Ali Shahi branch of Nematullahi, an Iranian Shia Sufi order. The founder and the first leader of the Safi Ali Shahi lineage was Mirza Hasan Isfahani, also known as Safi Ali Shah, who passed away in 1899. Safi Ali Shah's charisma and social activities enabled him to attract a large number of followers, including members of the upper class, such as many government officials and the elite from the capital city of Tehran, including the court of Nasiruddin Shah that we discussed previously. Safi Ali Shah was succeeded in accordance with his own wish by Ali Khan Qajar, also known as Zahir-ud-Dawla or Safa Ali Shah, who was the son-in-law of Nasiruddin Shah that we discussed, a member of the royal Qajar dynasty and minister at court. Shortly after Safi Ali Shah's death, Zahir-ud-Dawla announced the official establishment of the society on December 1899, which gained the recognition of the ruling king of Iran, Muzaffaruddin Shah Qajar, the son of the Nasiruddin Shah. So here is actually first part of our presentation today. As Safa Ali Shah or Zahir-ud-Dawla was the son-in-law of the king, he was had very high elite place inside the court, and the members of this Sufi brotherhood, mostly they were people of government and in the court. And the series of photographs that we are going to see all never seen in Persian history. And they are from my own private collection that I'm sharing with you. What we see here is one of the rare gatherings of Anjuman-e-Ukhuwwat. As you could see here, you know, the clock and logo is here. You see here on the flag, they are, here is Safa Ali Shah, Zahir-ud-Dawla and group meetings that they had. And photography for the group was to memorizing the meetings, the people, and it was not for the public. And the way that I collected also these photographs, they are family albums. They were not for the public gaze. So this is why until today, they were not, you know, seen by the others. In this series of photographs, when we have official and normal people, one by one, we see the leaders of Sufi inside the Anjuman-e-Ukhuwwat. And this, again, these type of photos are not for religious purposes or for tourist or Orientalism that we will see in following slides. This series, mostly I can say they were very private. It was really maybe for the, actually, this come from Zahiruddin's own family. So not someone else out of, you know, his own lineage, never seen before. Never seen photograph of Safi Ali Shah, the leader of, as I told you, the lineage. And you see left side, Safi Ali Shah and his family with probably three sons and babies. And right side is later photograph of Safi Ali Shah, beautifully done, probably in his own household. For those who are familiar with iconography of Shiism, especially Imam Ali, the leader of Sufi, the right side photograph is staged based on Imam Ali sittings in the photographs, hands, two hands like crossed together, sitting on the skin of the sheep, which is normally dark, black, and very humble look to the sky. Is really, it was not the aim of this presentation, but we can compare this image with the image of Imam Ali iconography during the Qajar period. Again, here we have another leader of Safi Ali Shahi, Muhammad Ali Pirzadeh Naimi, who is the big leader of Pirzadeh and Pirnia family from, again, Safi Ali Shah private photo album and collection. So here you see, again, photographs, they don't have any value of religious, but if you compare right side photograph here of Safi Ali Shah and right side photograph here of Ali Pirzadeh Naini, there is a mystical gaze, even images staged, the gaze and looking far to the sky gives the feeling that it is different from the left one, a studio photograph. In both the slide, if you look here, left is stage, looking to the lens, looking to the camera, there's no religious value, but in the right side images, both slides, you can see there is a holiness in the gaze of the sitter in the photograph. Then we have, you know, a series of photographs of Safi Ali Shah himself in his household. He was not really a person for being show off, share this for, we don't see this series of photographs of him. Even he was big leader and probably the founder of Anjuman-e-Ukhuwwat. We never seen this series of photographs of him in history. And I think it's interesting to share this morning with you because probably the school of Sufism that he created remains the most important one for the urban city, especially capital. But something which is interesting here, left side, we see him in younger age, and an exceptional photograph, right side, there are three ladies. In the middle is his wife, the daughter of Nasiruddin Shah, the king of Persia, and two others, there are two daughters of him. This is the only photographs in Iranian history that we see three female dressed as gazes of men in the Sufism. And, you know, it's very interesting because the entire family were member of the Safi Ali Shahi order of Sufism. And you can find different versions of right side photograph on internet with different wrong captions. But I confirm that the lady in the middle is the wife of Safi Ali Shah and two daughters, right and left. They didn't really change many things in their gaze as part of beauty of the woman in Qajar court, especially 19th century, ladies, they had mustache. So it's not fake teeth, you know, they never clean their face, but the hair and the other things are, you know, geese and decorative. Now we go to another school of photography in which we can see Sufi and Dervish. And this school is the school of probably Persian Orientalism. The father of this school of photography is in Raisayn, Antoine Sevrukin, who is Armenian, Iranian-born Armenian, but had extensive access to Armenia, Russia, and Ottoman Turkey, through which he learned a lot about Orientalism photography. And among many, I think he probably produced thousands of photographs of Iran, people in the bazaar, the market, and ladies with Orientalist style, you know, what we can see in Ottoman Turkey, ladies with very, you know, decorative dressing. But among many, he did really good photographs of Dervish and Sufi in the streets of Tehran and other cities of Iran. But left side, we have another very important member of Nasiruddin Shah's court, Prince Abdullah Mirza Qajar, who was good friend of Antoine Sevrukin, influenced by Antoine Sevrukin, did also many, many hundred thousand photographs, among which we see also visual representation Sufi. The differences between these two is that Prince Abdullah Mirza Qajar was one of the official photographers of the court of Nasiruddin Shah and received orders to travel all around Iran, Persia, to take photographs only for the gaze of the king, because king could not travel in Iran. He created more than, I think, 100 albums of different regions of Persia. Let's say Khorasan, Azerbaijan, Hamadan. And we see in his albums really the local Sufi and Dervish and the way that, you know, they dress or material culture that they used in that period. But Antoine Sevrukin photographs are made for the non-Iranian gaze, for being sold in Europe mostly. Let's look at them. This is one of the most famous photographs of Antoine Sevrukin, a Sufi in Tehran. And it's a unique image that we can see the ensemble of a Sufi during those periods with entire material culture. You know, all of the rosaries, the headgear, the turban around the headgear, and whatsoever he has as a ring and what he has in a hand, the way of dressing. This is true, this is a stage, but this is one of the complete photographs that we have of one of the Sufi in the streets of Tehran in the late 19th century or early 20th century. Another genre of Sufism that is unknown for many, but as I work on, as my colleagues in Western Sydney Uni, they know, I work on photography of African slavery in Qajar era Iran. So the only place that we see that escaped African slaves or released African slaves, especially in the city of Isfahan, could survive in the city, there became like these Sufis in the streets. And it's amazing photographs of Antoine Sevrukin that we see this, you know, type of African Sufi in Iran who were previously slaves. I could not go beyond the images of this series of African Sufis because documents are rare and still I'm searching to find more about what was their name. Unfortunately, we don't have anything beyond the images. And this is why it's very important to see how they could dress, what they had as a material, and what's differences between how they were presented an image and white Sufis in the same city. A comparison between photographs of left side done by Antoine Sebrugin and right side is by Abdullah Mirza Qajar to show you that he used the official court visiting card photographs with his name and the logo of the court. You will see a sitting lion with a crown on the top, and he signed his name in the left side, Abdullah Mirza Qajar. But he really inspired in many of his photographs from Antoine Sebrugin. But what is interesting in both series of photographs, when we don't have a lot in literature regarding Iranian Sufism, the material culture, the way of living of these Sufis in late 19th century, early 20th century, we see photographs. Even they are staged mostly in the photographs of Antoine Sebrugin. He didn't create the material culture. For instance, in Central Asian Sufism, this is which is connected to Persian Sufism before 18th century, one of the major elements of Sufis are skin of panther, puste palang. And we hear many times, you see in the right image of Abdullah Qajar, the Darwish has a skin of panther on his shoulder, and left side also you see they have it. They are the only two testimonials that we see comparison between text and image. And as previously I explained for Aydogan and Milad, in my common works with my supervisor, Thierry Zarkon in France, we have a chapter on the material culture of Sufism through photography, which published hopefully next year by Brill. We discuss all of these details of Sufi dress and material culture through photography. But most important one, this is first time that we see really skin of panther on the shoulder of Sufis in Iran. Another comparison, left side, is the photo done by Antoine Sebrugin. The gaze is very Europeanized. It's like we have Jesus Christ in front of us in left side photo. He knew very well the market for his photographs. He did a big series, for example, of half-naked ladies, for example. He staged very well the figures. He knew what the market in Europe will, pay for such images. But right side is one of those travelogues of Abdullah Mirza Qajar that I told you. His official album for Nasiruddin Shah, as description says, this, the photograph is for official court studio of Nasiruddin Shah. The name of the school was Darul Funun, the house of the science that Nasiruddin Shah for the first time created inside his court. And in the middle, it says that this is the photo of Majnun Shah, one of the probably local Sufis, but in very, very important shrine of Sheikh Abul Hasan Kharaqani, which I think Milad can tell us more about him and his role in Iranian mysticism and Sufism. And in the left side, he did right side Abdullah Mirza Qajar. So why I choose these two photographs for you? To see probably the characters could be the same, but how in real life in Persia, late 19th century, early 20th century, the Sufis' life was. They were attached to a shrine, a local saint, a local peer, and just like beggars beside that, visitors to the shrine could get some offerings to them, like Buddhist monks, they were devilers. They traveled all around in cities, recite some prayings, instead they receive some food or some coins probably, and has nothing to do with the image in the left side. That's just very clean man, dressed well, for the gaze of camera, sitting, playing, with, and inspired definitely by Christianity. And again, very influenced by iconography of Imam Ali that I told you during that time. But as Antoine Sebrugin was a Christian, Armenian, he did a lot of photography of, church and Christian places in Isfahan, Julfa in Iran. He really knew what he's selling. His material is for selling, not the gays. And then Abdullah Mirza Qajar, I think, used several of models of Sevrugin, but made them like vernacular gays here, we can say. Here he finds some way, not working for the king, not working as Antoine Sevrugin. This is my own photo, he says, I think. Normal models of Antoine Sevrugin, but in a stage by Abdullah Mirza Qajar. So it's interesting. Everyone wants to say always these Sufi are smoking hubble bubble or shisha, and they are sitting again on the sheepskin. If they don't have that beautiful panther skin, everyone can have a sheepskin. And look at the headgears, are very rare to see the headgears and turbans and the way that they tied with the ribbons there. But again, the touch of Orientalism is there. Look at the left side one here, has a flower in hand, is very, Europeanized things, in the nature, but it's very beautiful. One of the beautiful images of Abdullah Mirza Qajar, Sufis in nature. And then we have other random photographers that, as I told you, in every cities around Iran now, we are probably in 1900, 1910, 1920s. Studios are everywhere. Don't forget that before 9th century, camera was very expensive. And the development of photos printing was also very expensive. Not everyone could afford it. But in early 20th century, there were cheaper models of photographs. Public could afford it. And also many secondhand cameras came to the market. So the left side image that you can see here is one Darvish in Bushehr, the southern port of Khuzestan. And is really local Darvish, like Arab, because Ahvaz and Khuzestan, Bushehr, they are Arab speaking Iranians. And the culture there is different from, let's say, Khorasan. And really the material culture and accessories that they have is different from the way of dressing. For example, look at this one, which is still very touristic. Gaze is in Shiraz, is in 1920s. And look at the boots. Very chic, and probably he's not a Sufi. Maybe I'm searching. I can imagine he's a British consul in a British consulate in Shiraz and dressed like that. Okay, my photo, very beauty. Look at the flowers again, it's in Kashgul. So it's something really decorative, but amazingly nice to look. And look, he's wrapping his body probably something like a curtain. It's not at all the dress of a Sufi, a humble Sufi, that walk in the street and praying. So I think really I like to call him British consul in Shiraz, with British consul curtain, wrap himself with the boots. But it's nice to compare this genre of images and how Sufism was popular in first, I can say, half of 20th century. We have many, many genres of these photographs. Then we have carpets with the image of Sufis. We have a lot of visual representations of them. And a series of popular, photographs in the streets that show where Sufis collaborate with the other, ambulatory performance in the streets together. We call the Mareke Gir. I leave Mila to translate that. It's very difficult. They are performers, humble performers that again walk village to village in the streets and perform like a snake playing in the streets. And normally they are Sufi. Maybe by heart they are not Sufi, but they dress like Sufi because they can perform two, three things together, get more money. you know. And this genre of photographs in 1930s is very popular in Iran. We see in majority of all albums of non-Iranians who visited Iran between two wars. There were many militaries in Iran during those periods, and in their albums, this type of images were interesting for them. So when we do research on this topic, and it's very interesting when we collect the dispersed photographs, bring them again together, we can recognize little by little who is who, and which one of them were professional models for different photographers. This is a fascinating image done by the son of Nasiruddin Shah, Prince Zelul Sultan, who was the governor of Isfahan and big fan of photography. He did hundreds of photographs of himself. He loved hunting. He destroyed probably 2-3 types of mammals of Iran just by hunting himself in Isfahan. I don't want to go to that topic. I think he had mental problems because he did photograph of himself with the dead body of animals and young grandchild children of him. Psychologically, his photos are very disturbing. But this photograph is one of those that he did in one of his albums, and the handwriting is his own handwriting. And it's good to see the governor of Isfahan, who is a prince, what he's telling about this group of people, the comments. He says, these are, you know, the Sufi and Dervish in the streets. They are not clean. They are ugly people. They are lazy people. They never work, and they are beggars. And in second line, he said, I did not find a real Sufi and Dervish among them. They are the fake ones. And so mentally, it shows for him the real Sufi is something else, probably the elite that he knows from the court, from, you know, his brother-in-law, who is Safa Ali Shah, the leader of, you know, brotherhood that I told you, Anjumana Ohoba. But when is after years working on the photographs, look at the central person, this one, who's like a leader, and this African one. Years later, in another album, I found that leader in individual photographs and that black one in another album. I return again, you can see this one is the right side one. And this one is this one. And the interesting thing is they are in the same dress of that photo, but I found them, this one in Spain, this one in London, and this one in Library of Parliament in Tehran. So visual research on Sufism also helped me to find out if these individuals continued their way of living in the area or not, if they travel from city to other city as well. And also the comments like that, the captions of photograph always help us for visual research on photography. Then we have another genre of local photography of Sufism. We are in Lorestan. You know, Sufism in Iran has a deep root, and there are different branches of Sufism in Iran. So what you see in this photograph is one of the leaders of the special type of Sufism in Lorestan, and they had red turbans. It's not black. You see here is deep red turban, and here he is with his family member. It's very interesting that as far as we go from the capital, families are less, I can say, orthodox. So women come into the photographs, and women could be seen in the photographs. So, but also again, this one is really a stage, and you can see he's sitting on the sheepskin, rosary in hand, which reminds us Imam Ali. And very, very late, 1930s, 1940s, we have a mixture of photographs of Sufi leaders with the Quranic verses and prayings for the blessing of the person that we see in the image. And these genre of photographs are mostly for the gaze of the person that we see. The individual, I could not recognize who is he. Still, I'm working on that. But it's good to see the mixture of technology. Now printing is coming to Persia, massive printing, so we can use text and image together. And this is where postcards came to the market for non-Iranian gaze again. Here is definitely for, as you can see, mostly they were written in Persian and French, Dervish at Tehran, the Sufi in Tehran, after photographs. And this is all a stage with the Orientalism gaze, especially this one that I have the photograph after which this postcard is painted and produced, Dervish in Urumia this time, in the North Azerbaijan of Iran. You see everything, you know, is after Antoine Sevrogin. And in very end, the book and publishers, they were interested to Antoine Sevrogin photographs. Massively, they collected them and produced books. So this series that you can see are from very famous four-volume books from Shiraz to Khorasan, four thick volume, and you can see different photographs of Antoine Sevrogin selected, painted, and designed as an illustration for that famous book. If you need later on, I can share with you the reference. This is where I stop. And sorry for very short and brief, but I think it was good start for the Friday morning to think together more about the usage of photography to record some of the, you know, Sufis and Dervish in Iran from elite to popular. I'm yours, Milajan.